Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'm glad you're here. Dr. Tim Irwin is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Tim's a good friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. Tim has been a consultant to corporations and small businesses like yours and mine, helping us put our best foot forward, helping us get the most out of our organizations. He's had senior management posts for major corporations as well, learning how to practice his trade there, and now he talks to people like you and me about how we can be better leaders, how we can be better managers, how we can make sure that our organization is a lot more effective than it has been and more like we would like it to be. His book is called Run with the Bulls: How to Run with the Bulls Without Getting Trampled, and he's our good friend Tim Irwin. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, good morning, Jim.
It's good to have you back.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
As always. Tim, we still got, we're seeing a little light at the end of the tunnel on the economy. I think everybody's seeing a glimmer of optimism peeking through the wall. But we still got a lot of challenges to deal with. We still got, and the recovery, it seems to me, is going to take a while. And so we're in for a more of a marathon and not a sprint to get out of this thing, and that's going to require some deliberate and professional management, isn't it?
Jim, I think you're exactly right. I'm not an economist by any stretch, but I know a lot and talk to a lot of financial experts, and that's pretty much what they're telling me, that this is going to be a deeper hole to dig out of, and it's going to take a while. And one of the things that I feel strongly is that we've got to seize the moment, and we've got to learn to manage better. We've got to lead better. What I find is that your competitors, your listeners' competitors, have pretty much the same technology. They have access to the same products and resources and so on. And what makes the difference between businesses that are great and businesses that are not so great are the people.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question is, how do you get great people, and how do you manage them well so that they perform with excellence?
Now, you see, one of the things that I think is I'd like to just add as a one little element to your thoughts here, Tim, is the fact that there have been so many really good people cut from big companies, highly trained, well trained, motivated people who know how to run, operate in a highly professional organization. Those people are available to go to work for small businesses right now, aren't they?
They absolutely are. I tell you, there has never been a greater source of talent that I can remember in my work career than right now. We've got wonderful people out there. They're motivated. They're looking for a job. And Jim, one of the things that I wrestle with all the time is, if you've noticed, if you think about the people that work for you, work with you, whatever, some of those people are individuals that really want to excel. They almost act like owners. I mean, they're not. They may not literally be owners. They may not own stock, or they may not own part of your company. But they take responsibility. Like
those are the ones you want to. Boy, if you can find them, whenever you find somebody like that, hold on to them.
Well, not only hold on to them, but my big question is, how do you take the people that work for you now, and how do you transform them into owners? And that's the critical management secret, I think, about getting the most out of your people. How do you transform that? And that's what I'm talking about a lot today.
So you're saying that, so folks, I think what Tim's saying is you don't have to hire, you may not have to hire all new people to find those. You may have them right under your nose. You just may not be motivating them properly or giving them the opportunity to be owners. That happens a lot.
That's exactly right.
In small business especially.
The question is, if you think about a horizontal line, and on the left end is low and on the right end is high, and we label that line commitment, how do we get people to be really committed to what they're doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people on the left end are acting out of compliance. I mean, they'll do what you say if you tell them to take this box to this customer or ship this or whatever. They'll do it. They will comply. But the question is, how do we get people using their good sense, and how do we get them to act like owners? How do we move them to the high commitment end?
What we want them to do is to say, you know, when you open your mouth to tell them to move that box, they say, oh, hey, boss, I already moved that box.
That's right.
That's what you want.
Hey, boss, I shipped that box yesterday.
Yeah, what's your problem, boss? I already did that.
Exactly. So the question is, how do you get people to do that? Because people tend to underperform. You know, my wife and I went to a hotel a few years ago and stayed there, and it was so expensive. My wife decided she would take our food, and so she took a suitcase full of food. You know what? At the end of the 3 days of staying there, as I was checking out, the lady who checked me out said, I don't understand. All of your meals were included in the price of this hotel. That literally happened. We've been eating this terrible food.
I don't think I would have told that.
Well, let me tell you, that story is a wonderful description of how so many companies are eating out of a suitcase of mediocrity.
Yeah.
When they could be eating in this beautiful dining room that we had every right. We had literally paid for the right to eat in this beautiful dining room of this hotel, three meals a day.
Yep.
And because
you got all this talent in front of you. You got this banquet of talent in front of you, perhaps.
That's exactly right.
And you're not taking advantage of it. Now, clearly, there are some people in many organizations that can't be redeemed. Now, you should try to redeem them, right, Tim? But there are people who can't be redeemed. But this process you're talking about, this management strategy you're talking about, will help you find those people, and either they get motivated or they get out.
That's exactly right. And listen, I'm not saying everybody that works in your organization is the right person. We sometimes have to help people get off the bus.
Mm-hmm.
And I strongly believe that if somebody is toxic or somebody is just a chronic poor performer, they just can't seem to, get that. They need to go find themselves somewhere else. But the reality is, I think, and I believe this with every fiber of my being, I think most people want to be great. I've never met anybody who gets out of bed in the morning and says, gee, I wonder how I can be really mediocre today.
Mm-hmm.
I think people aspire to greatness. And the question is, can we tap into that? Can we help them? Can we create the conditions that lead to that? And I think good managers and good business owners, in fact, can do that.
Well, and see, that's the reason, you know, some people need to be motivated. They believe what you said. They want to be great, but they're not capable maybe of motivating themselves. Maybe they don't have the answers that they need that you're supposed to have if you're their manager.
Well, I think the manager has a unique opportunity to create the circumstances that allow people to do that. They allow them to move for greater ownership. I don't think
Hold on to that thought, Tim. When we come back, folks, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get Tim to give us some tips on how you and I can do a better job of this. We'll do this right after these messages, 20 after. Tim Irwin is our guest, Dr. Tim Irwin. The book is called Run with the Bulls. He's got a new book coming out in a few weeks, and we're going to mention it when we come back after these messages. Stay with us. Little Stones bringing us back. 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. Got a new look there, a new feel, a new way of presenting our information. I think you'll like it, so check it out when you get a chance. If you got 5 seconds or 15 minutes or anywhere in between on any topic under the Small Business Sun, we've got something you can read or listen to. You can ask questions. Check it out when you get a chance. Check out my blog as well, and don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Tim Irwin, Dr. Tim Irwin is our guest. He's the author of Run with the Bulls. And Tim, give us the website where we can find your book. And also, you still got that free assessment?
Absolutely. Jim, it's runwiththebulls.net.
Okay.
Runwiththebulls.net, not .com, runwiththebulls.net.
All right.
And by the way, the subject we're talking about this morning is how do you get the most out of your employees? How do you help them act like owners? And I've got a recent newsletter on my website that goes into some of the details that we're not really having time to cover this morning.
Right.
So they can sign up for that newsletter.
Good.
As well.
I appreciate that very much. And don't forget to take that free assessment. And you got a new book coming out.
Got a new book coming out in about 6 weeks called Derailed. And it's the 5 lessons learned from catastrophic failures of leadership.
Wow.
This is going to be a very hard-hitting book, Jim.
No kidding.
It's going to talk about what have we learned in the last year of of this catastrophic economic problems that we've
Well, we expect
through.
To launch that book on this show, Tim.
Well, that's great. I'd love to.
So we'll mark that down. Tim, help us do... Yeah, I know you've got some 1-2-3s on how to get the most, how to get our employees to become leaders, not just followers. Go ahead.
Jim, one of the most profound studies that's been done in the last 20 years was by a couple of men that found that what people in organizations really want to do with their leaders is they want to trust. They want to have trust in their leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, how do you do that? And I think that's a key to moving people from the standpoint of just being compliant, doing what you tell them, over to this high end of commitment. And I think there are a couple of things that your listeners can do as they lead their businesses. One is they've got to keep their commitments. That is so credible. If they say they're going to do something, if they say they're going to get back to people, if they say they're going to provide something by next Friday, they've got to do that. In other words, it needs to be an exceptional situation when they don't follow through on what they say they're going to do. Don't give people empty promises. Another thing they've got to do is they've got to make their thinking visible. And this is really, really important. We're in a period of tremendous, tumultuous change. And so it's important that your people who own these businesses make their thinking visible, over-communicate, if you will. Talk to their employees about what's going on, about how the business is doing. Anytime
be honest with them.
Absolutely. And people can tolerate a whole lot more honesty than we tend to give them credit for.
Yep. And if you haven't had that conversation, folks, it's not too late, but you should have already had it, but have it now. Do it now.
Make your thinking visible. Tell them what's going on,
yep.
Why is it happening, how is it impacting them. Those are very important conversations.
We did that. I did that in my office months ago, and as I've said before, I said, guys, I don't know if we're going to make it. You know, who knows what's going to happen, but this is my seventh one of these to go through, and I made the other six, so if that's worth anything to you.
Absolutely.
And they said that that helped.
Jim, another thing too, that raises trust among people, that causes people to really trust in their boss, is run by the rules yourself. In other words, a lot of times we expect the people that work for us to run by one set of rules and we run by a different one.
Right.
And that's not right.
Especially when we talk about it, we pontificate. If you pontificate about, you know, doing this or doing that, and then your employees see you doing something else, that's the opposite of trust.
Absolutely. I know one business owner that travels first class all the time, but he tells everybody in his team to ride coach. And he has the perfect right to do that, but it's not sending the right message.
Right.
And so as a result, run by the rules that you expect other people to.
Mm-hmm.
I worked for a business in another state, and the guy was constantly buying stuff with business funds for personal use. And people knew it. You know, he'd go down to the hardware store, charge a chainsaw to the company, take it home, and people knew what he was doing. It just creates an attitude of mistrust. He's not running by the rules. Hey, a second thing that I really, really encourage people to do is help people understand why what they're doing is important. If you want to see people motivated, connect them to why what they're doing is benefiting the customer. A lot of times these jobs, you know, we're just kind of sitting somewhere or doing something. We have absolutely no idea how this benefits anybody. There's a wonderful
especially those people who might not see the direct connection, like a truck driver or a warehouseman or something like that, somebody, the accounts receivable person or something, who might not see the direct connection to the overall picture.
There you go. You know, I had my blood drawn the other day to take a cholesterol test, and the young woman, I hate doing that, you know, you stick it with a sharp needle, and I sat down, and this young woman started singing, and she was so pleasant, and normally it just hurts like this. I never even knew she stuck me in the arm. And I said, golly, you're good at this. And she looked at me. She says, well, of course I'm good. She says, I'm called to do this. This job's important.
Wow.
My job is to keep people healthy. Now, think about it. See, it's a matter of perspective sometimes. If your job was to go stick people in the arm with a sharp needle all day, I mean, how exciting would that be?
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, she says, hey, my job is to keep people healthy.
Wow.
She's made that leap. And so what business owners, I think, have to do is talk about why it's important.
Right.
I got permission recently from Boeing.
Tim, I'm going to have to wrap it up. I'm sorry. We've run out of time. I want you to come back now. In about 6 weeks, we're going to launch that new book.
You just give me a call.
I expect to have an autographed first copy, too, by the way.
There you go.
Thanks, Tim. Tim Irwin, ladies and gentlemen. Runwiththebulls.net, right, Tim? Yeah, that's his website, folks. The book is called Run with the Bulls, Quick Break, 29 After. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.